Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for this day. Father, we thank you, Lord, even for this awesome privilege that, Lord, you've granted once again. In spite of our failings, in spite of my shortcomings, Lord, I come this time to minister the word. Have mercy upon me. To be faithful to deliver this word that you want your people to hear, that it will come out structured, it will come out in a manner that will be a blessing to each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. That the word will come forth in clarity. Lord, let it come forth in simplicity, in the comfort and in the love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts and in all of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Help me to redeem the time to say only those which are necessary in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come under the covering of the fathers of the house. Lord, even pastor and mommy, Lord, I ask for that mantle, oh Lord, that's upon them to be upon me now, Lord, even this time, in full submission that I'll be able to minister as though they were here themselves ministering. Father, Lord, even that the fullness of your will, the fullness of your counsel concerning this word will be established in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Precious Holy Spirit, we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Good evening, everybody. Going to the word today, I believe the word the Lord has given me to minister this evening, the title to it is called The Power of the Believer. The Power of the Believer. The Power of the Believer. I will start off by looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Last time I wasn't used to turning back. I'm trusting it's going to be flowing today. 2 Peter, let's read together. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Let's take it again. According as his divine power, his divine power, his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's the knowledge of Christ that he's talking about. Okay, but the important thing is that he has given divine power. God has given us power to unto us so that we can get all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Power has been given unto us so that we can attain the godliness that Jesus Christ himself has given us, you know, to or called us to walk in. So this is the, you know, banner scripture that I want us to keep in our hearts and mind as we continue. Let's build some definitions first so that we have some parameters that we're working with. What is power? Power is the ability to do or act, or the capability of doing or accomplishing something. Power could also be defined as possessing control or command. That's authority over others. Ability to do or act. The capability of doing or accomplishing something. It's obvious that God has divine power. We can see that, you know, in what we've read there, he's given us power unto godliness. You know, the scripture says all power belongs to God. You know, power to create. You can't, you know, create the universe and all the stars, the moons, the galaxies that we see without power. That's the, you know, God has that ability to accomplish those things. You know, and his own power is not the power to clone. You know, there's, I remember this story of somebody who was trying to say that, you know, we can be like God, you know, all these genetic things are cloning, you know, and said, you know, let's start. You know, and the joke says, you know, God said, no, start from the beginning. Don't start from the stem cell. Go and get your own sand, you know, and get your own water, you know, and create a man if you can create. Nobody can create. All power belongs to God. And David puts it beautifully. Let's go to that scripture. First Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 to 12, first of all. First Chronicles chapter 29. This is where, before Solomon is coronated the second time, where David is bringing all the things that he's offered and he's prepared for the house of the Lord. And he goes through an elaborate definition of, you know, God being the source of all power. So therefore, David blessed, let's read together. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power, And in thy hand is power. And in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That is the God we're serving. David brought it out so beautifully. I was looking for the scripture, you know, all power belongs to God, you know. And, you know, I came across it and I thought, that depicts it so beautifully. The power to create, the power to give who he wants to give that power to, the power unto godliness that we read earlier in 2 Peter. All that power belongs to God. And he wants us to have that power as believers. That's what we're believing, that today we're going to see how we're going to be able to tap into the power of God, or walk in the realization that the power of God is available to us as believers. The emphasis being that we believe. Praise the Lord. Now, this power, this ability of God, you know, we define power as the ability to do work. You see this, you know, in the story of Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. That's John chapter 5. And we see Jesus attributing God's, the Father's divine ability to work to the life of God. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Just give the background. We'll read a little bit. The first, so John chapter 5 verse 1. Okay. John chapter 5 verse 1. Okay. I'll go to 17. We'll save time and just say the background is, you know, Jesus going to the pool of Bethesda, where there was the tradition that the first person who was handicapped or who had any infirmity, if he stepped into the pool, and there was a man who had been there, I think 39 years, many years, you know, and, you know, Jesus comes on the scene and God directs him specifically. You know, there are other people there, but God goes to him. And he says, I don't have anybody to take me in, so somebody else gets in before me, you know. And, you know, the summary of the story, Jesus tells him, take your bed, go up, you know. And he carries his bed. And it's on the Sabbath day. That's the key thing. So after he's been healed, people see him carrying his bed on the Sabbath day, and they are angry. Not that this person who has been there for 39 years is healed. They are angry that, why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath day? You know, scandalous. The Pharisees' whole mindset. He wasn't, you're walking now. You know, because I'm sure that would be recognized. Somebody who has been there for 39 years, you know how it is. Sometimes you're driving along the road. There are some people, I don't know their names, but I've seen them at the same junction begging or asking for alms since I was in UI, you know, years ago. You know, they're still coming there. They look older now, just like I look older now, you know, but they're still there. And so if I see that kind of person suddenly out of his chair, I'm not going to say, why are you walking on the Sabbath day? That was the farthest thing it would be from my mind. I'd be like, wow, what happened? How? Way? Who prayed? You know? And instead of asking, who, you know, how did it happen? I said, somebody prayed for me. You know, I thought they'd be thinking, let's go and meet that person. You did such a great work. He prayed for you and did a healing work on the Sabbath. Who is he? They wanted to go and accost the person. Can you imagine? They weren't going to find out who was the person. Say, well done. No, you've done a good deed. They wanted to, as I was praying, they wanted to go and get money from him or get something from him. You know how it is. These Pharisees were meant to be custodians of the law. I'm sure if they accosted him and said, why did you do this? You healed on this day, healed on this day. Okay, set loss, just set loss. You know, the Pharisees love money. In their, you know, this desire for who it is, who did it on the Sabbath, if it must have been a gain for them. It was a gain. I was asking, what's the motivation? They actually wanted him to, because we know that because after the man said, I don't know him, he disappeared. Jesus, in the normal, usual self-effacing way, just disappears. And that's how we will be too, as God helps us. When God does things to us, just ease. Let the glory go to God. He didn't stay to the man and let somebody come around him. But he saw the man again later and he said, go and see no more. And for some reason, the man goes to tell, I've seen the person again. That is who has done this miracle. You know, so he, in quotes, goes to report and says, it's Jesus. So, verse 16 and 17, we now know that they've now pointed out that this is Jesus who had done this healing on the Sabbath, and the Pharisees are upset about him. And therefore, did the Jews persecute Jesus? And they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. They were angry that he had done it on the Sabbath day. Verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Jesus scandalized them. They were upset that he had done something he shouldn't have done on the Sabbath. He wasn't begging. He wasn't trying to settle them. He now says, this work I'm doing, as my Father has been working hitherto, so also I work. He said, equated himself with the Father. You healed on the Sabbath is bad enough. You are now saying you and the Father are equal. Let's go to verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. You must understand that, you know, it's not the liberty we have now. We say, you know, God our father, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are your brother. You know, the Jews, God was Jehovah. They didn't even call the name like that. It was such to be irreverential. You know, you refer to him by his own, some other names, some other appellations. You will not call him, you know, by his, you know, divine name. So Jesus breaks all of that tradition down. I'm working because my father is working. Everything I'm doing is because the father is doing it. You know, we'll read later on as we go down. It is what I've seen the father do that I too am doing. Because you can imagine the mind of those people who wanted to kill him just for breaking the Sabbath. He now takes it, you know, I mean, it's like the person they want to burn who is now using petrol to rub his body. You know, I mean, just so this is, yes. So all of these things, it's, you know, I'm doing it because I've seen the Father do it. Verse 19. And then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, I say unto you, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he saith the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus is saying, I've been working. This kind of work that you've seen me do, I'm working it because I'm seeing the Father do it. As I see the Father do, so also I do. And that made him qualify to be somebody who could work with God. As I see the Father do, that also I do. And so we see that Jesus is saying, he's seen something. Now we know the Father didn't come down physically and show him. It wasn't a physical scene. He was seeing things on the inside. In the place of prayer, he was getting, going ahead of myself, revelation knowledge. God was saying, do this, do that. And he believed God. The original believer. Okay? He believed God. The things that God showed him, he said, yes, this thing that God has shown me, it is so. And he would step out and he also would reproduce it. So also we too are meant to see the things that God has shown us by revelation. Step out in faith. What does God of God say about this? See by revelation and step out in faith. You know, Pastor Kuni was saying the other day, revelation is key. Revelation is key. Upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's not the name of St. Peter in Basilica in Rome. It's the rock of revelation knowledge. Okay, that statement came when he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The power of revelation knowledge is something that you get on the inside, you know it is God, and then you can step out, you know, and put out what God has said. Praise the Lord. Let's go further down, John 5:26, where, you know, we now see him linking, doing this work that the Father is showing him with being able to do it because of the presence of the life of God. John 5:26. Let's read together. For as the Father... Let's remember the background. I'm doing all the work the Father has shown me. I can do it because I see the Father doing it. And he now says, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. I remember the first day I had pastor say this, you know, when I started coming to school, pastor said, life is what God has in himself. Amen. As the Father has life in himself, you know, I was teaching you know how life of God is a spiritual liquid flowing inside God, much the same way that blood flows in man. All the attributes of God, those things we read, 1 Chronicles 29, about God, power, ability comes from this life. Jesus says that I see the Father working, so I work. The Father is able to enable me to work because what he has to work, he has also made available to me. Amen. And what is that he has made available to him? Life. As the Father has life in himself. What is this life? Zoe. The life of God. A spiritual liquid inside God that makes God God. The God's wisdom, God's power, all of God's attributes come from that life. And by the mercy of God, God has given us that life. Amen. It's a sobering thought. Just as he gave it to Jesus, through Jesus we have access to it. Further on, he tells us, you know, all those that come to me, they can get this life. You know, so if we to believe and look at, you know, the things that, how we access this life, then we're able to tap into this very life of God, this divine nature. Let's have a quick summary of this eternal life. You know, we said God is, life is what God has in himself. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. God has given us divine promises, just the next verse after what we opened with, when we were reading 2 Peter 1:3. Yes. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is where the life scriptures come from. Exceeding great and precious promises, promising us the life of God. In Jesus' name I have life. Father, strengthen me with might. You know, Psalm 119 is loaded with many of them. You know, and we've been given knowledge, understanding. You know, God has helped us. Thank God for the heritage we have in our fathers. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank God. You know, it makes such a difference. You know, as I'm not yet so mature, you know, but as I've grown older, I realize, thank God I came to someone who could tell me about the life of God. You know, it's in understanding the life of God, so many other things fall into place. So many other things open. The light of life, you know, the measures of life, you know, increase the measure, increase ability, you know, that we're talking about, you know, life in an abundant measure so that you can do more things, you know, and do more things for God. And like I said, I just think, you know, if I had ended up somewhere and I didn't have any access to this, I would be so, so lost. That's just the honest truth. So we thank God, you know, that we have a godly heritage, you know, and that we're able to access this stuff. And we don't want to encourage us again. Let's use it. Let's use it. Let's use it. You know, life scriptures, it's a key. It's one of the keys. Okay? We're going to see another key this evening, but it's the key. You know, the life of God is something that when you walk in it, it's the nature of God. So you want to become godly, you've got to, you know, you need that nature. That we be partakers of the divine nature. So if you're tired of acting wrongly in the flesh, wrong emotions, wrong this, saying the wrong things, acting the wrong way, get more life. Get more life. Get more life. Amen? Get more life. You know, and this life is, you know, Bible calls it living waters. We saw that, you know, in John 7, you know, at the great feast. He said, whoever thirsts, let him come to drink, you know, out of my belly to flow rivers of living water. You know, and Jesus is the way to get that life. You know, the great scripture, John 14, 6. We don't need to turn that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But let's go further down back to John 5, 40. Again, he's telling the Pharisees how he's the one that they can access the life of God. Okay, maybe 38, where he's telling them, you think you have the scriptures. Okay, verse 39. Such this is the Pharisees who are still trying to kill him for, you know, trying to for doing the right thing and saying he was the Son of God, which he rightfully was. He says, search the scriptures. Let's read together. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. I come to tell you the scribes, the Pharisees, they too want life. But they're looking and thinking it's somewhere in the scriptures. It says that the scriptures are speaking of me. It is to me that you will come, that you may have life. Another stumbling block for them. You know, he's healing on the wrong day. He's saying he can walk the walk of God. It's not even life. It's for me that you can get it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Later on, he starts talking about eat my flesh, eat my blood, you know, in John 7, that even his own disciples, you know, find it difficult to take. He says some people departed at that time. So we need to come to God. The key word there is that you will not. It's an act of your will. It's an act of the will. It's a choice. We know about life scriptures, but do you will to draw life? Do you will to draw life properly? Do you will to trust God and increase the measures of the life that you're working in? Okay, we said this last time as well. The life of God, that spiritual liquid, is like raw diesel. You need to process diesel for it to become power that can do different things. You know, Pastor, you know, puts that analogy beautifully. You know, diesel is not electricity. Diesel is not an air conditioning chiller. Diesel is not the monitor. Diesel is just the raw material. That's the life of God. It's when you process, you put in a generator. And then the dynamo and different things go into place. Then it comes out, you know, as electric power. Then that electric power can be converted to other things. Something you can see on a screen, you know, visual power. Something you can use to chill the atmosphere, you know, cooling things. And different devices we have in our home. So also that life of God is the raw material that we need to process in the place of prayer. Process to get revelation. Process to get the light of life out of it. Process to begin to, you know, cause things that we want in our lives to come into manifestation. So we see that we need to be willing to come to Him that we may have life, so that when we receive that life, we can now process life in the place of prayer to produce different things that we want. We saw in verse 18, Jesus' rightful claim to be the Son of God, you know, equating Himself with God, which the Pharisees were not happy. Verse 19. Again, we said it earlier, I'm just going to read it again. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, let's read together. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he said the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. We're expanding on what he said earlier on, you know, when he just said, what I see the Father, the works the Father is doing. And he now says that, I'm seeing, I can't do anything of myself. Jesus, the Son of God, says, there's nothing that I do of myself. I can do what but what he said the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son. So there is a place where Jesus, the Son, sees the Father do the work, and then he goes out believing. This is the corner part of believing. He sees it and he believes it. He sees it and says, okay, that thing I've seen is true. He doesn't think, what if it doesn't happen? What if I'm wrong? You know, take for example the man at the pool. He just had a word. Like I said, there were many people there. He went specifically. You know, I can't give the details of how you know whether it was in the morning prayer or whatever. He went in there with a direction. I'm not just going there and saying, all of you stand up. There's a person I'm going to look for. I don't know, you know, this is God's divine power. God has just decided, let's show mercy on that guy. You know, I mean, because I was thinking later, why did that guy go and report Jesus? You know, God comes in, meets him specifically, but he still comes back, you know, and it's all in the plan of God. Jesus wasn't taken by surprise. So we see the Lord, the Son of God, saying that, you know, doing the work of the Father is as a result of believing, you know, that what he has seen is true. And what he has seen, he also can bring it to pass as he has seen. Amen. And he says this is the greatest witness. When we see, or when the Son sees what the Father shows, and he believes and he does it. His believing and manifesting what the Father has shown is the greatest witness. Let's go there. John chapter 5, still in this same chapter, verse 36. Talking about the witness. Okay, in the background, you say, you know, there's the witness of John, you know, but I'm not banking on those witnesses. You know, there are different things that witness of me, but this is the one that he holds as the greatest witness. And the same thing applies to us. Let's read together, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. If we're going to bear witness of God, that God has sent us to manifest the sons of God, it's going to be by believing and outworking the works that we see the Father do. And we said, so it's not a physical scene. Same thing for us. It's not going to be a physical scene. They're going to be things that we see by revelation. Things that we see as God just inspires us by the Holy Spirit. Who is a believer? We're still doing our definitions. The person who accepts as an act of their will that what God has said or shown is presently true without any initial physical evidence. The believer is the person accepting as an act of their will, very key, that what God has said or shown is presently true without initial physical evidence. Initial physical evidence is very crucial. There'll be evidence later. There'll be physical manifestation later. But initially, there'll be nothing. It'll just be God has put it in my heart. Or the word of God has said this to be so. So we start off, you know, by saying that. This showing is not a physical, 58, it's not a physical thing. We see this in the story of the nobleman who is asking Jesus to please come and heal his son. John chapter 48. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see, let's read. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Okay? The nobleman is saying, please come and heal my son. You know, and Jesus says, you don't have to see signs and wonders. You can believe without seeing the signs and wonders. Pastors always taught us that thing, you know, if signs and wonders were going to make people believe, then in the wilderness, they saw so many. There's so many things they saw, you know, but the Bible tells us they didn't mix it with faith. The believing part in the plans of God, they didn't execute that one. So the power came in there. You've seen power, you see miracles, but you're not believing. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to see that. Even in the place where there's power, you must be believing for it to be effective. Bible says, you know, the Pharisees were there when they brought the paralytic man through the roof. God's power was there. They didn't get healed. It was the people who came believing. They believed so much that Jesus must see this man. The place is full, the door is full, we can't get in, let's go through the roof. The Bible says Jesus saw their faith. He saw that they were believing, and he just downloaded the power. We are our believing, I'm getting ahead of myself, our believing is what draws down the power. Remember our title, The Power of the Believer. Our believing is crucial to draw the power. Our accepting as an act of our will, that what God has said is true, what God has said is presently true, without any initial physical evidence, is what's going to bring the power that will now make it from no initial evidence to now being full physical evidence, or progressive evidence, depending on what we're believing God for. Praise the Lord. Now, this seeing component of believing is by revelation knowledge. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 17? This seeing component of believing is by revelation, so we need to see by revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. This is one of the Pauline prayers. We'll come back to it when we're looking at the how of this message. Let's read together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen. There's a crucial conditionality there. Who believe? The power is there, is available, but is the exceeding greatness of that power is available to us ward if we believe. If we don't believe, then it's there, but it's not going to credit or work in our account. We must believe that that power is there. Amen? Remember that we said the eyes of our understanding. It's not our physical eyes. Okay? That is seen with the mind's eyes. Okay? The eye, the mind, being single, is that mind that takes, yes, revelation comes in and we take it in. What we see by revelation, God opens our eyes and then we're able to say, yes, that is true, and we work it out. Amen? Now, this power that we see in verse 18 is not just any power. And this is, you know, part of where the message of today is. We continue further down the line. We're going to see this power that God is talking about. Just let's read it again, verse 18. Verse 19, I want again. Sorry. And what is the exceeding greatness? Let's read together. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe? Who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Then he starts defining the mighty power that is available to us who believe. Verse 20. This is the power that is available. This is the power, end it together, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Next verse. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Did you get what we read now? God has given power to us if we believe. Amen. The power he's given us is the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Andrew. I think God deserves a clap offering. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We're going to read it again because I want you to sink in. Let's read it from verse 19 and go through and see the qualifications of that power. And believe God that is available to you. All those things that we read is available to you. Praise the Lord. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe? We must believe. Going according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. We are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. 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 That resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead and gave him all the things, positioned, seated at the right hand of the Father. You two are there. The Bible says so. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, far above principalities and powers. Guess what? We're above them. We're above them. It's a deceit. We're above them. Wow. In this world and in the world to come. Lord will help us in Jesus' name. This is the main part of the verse, that we may see this thing by revelation and then start using it in our walk with God. We've got everything. Amen. God will have mercy on us to walk in it. Resurrection power is available. What can stop resurrection power? Nothing. Nothing. If Satan could have any answer, he would have done it when Jesus was in hell. I'm getting ahead of myself. They were rejoicing. 3 days. You know, yes, the Son of Glory, the King of Glory is with them. Before they had it done, had the Prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. They had trouble in their hand, they didn't know. After 3 days, the Spirit of life. The Spirit of what? Life. The Spirit of life. That raw material, life. What did he bring that day? Resurrection power. Promo Shokora Messiah. Entered into Jesus, who had died spiritually. Satan had never seen it happen. It had never happened before. That's why he's the firstborn from the dead. Satan had seen people, he made sin after he, you know, made Adam sin, that they died spiritually, physical death would follow, and that had been the pattern. He didn't know God had a joker. He didn't know God had a joker. Hallelujah. He didn't know God had a joker. If he knew, he wouldn't have played that card. He was completely fooled. He was completely taken apart by God and his team. Amen. And guess what? You are in that team. I'm in that team. The power that made him dribble Satan is available to you and I if we believe. Will we believe today? If we choose to start believing and walking in that belief as we go on in this message, that's the key. If we can get that, that is the power of the believer. The believer that says, I believe the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to me. It seems so far out, but that's what God wants. You know, you can see so many problems, so many limitations. Trust God. Believe God. Then start applying it. Then you see that many of the things that are holding us down, they start falling away. Amen. A lot of times, just remember, it's a mind game. The battle is in the mind. You are actually on top, but Satan will make it seem as if you are not on top. It's a deception. You actually have the victory already, but it's going to make it seem as if, I told you, nothing has changed. You are still like that. Don't give up. You keep on going at him. Keep on going at him. Keep on going. Arm yourself with resurrection power, so to speak. Believe that it's available to you. Believe God has given it to you and that you are allowed to use it. Amen? Did you catch that? You are allowed to use it. No funny humility, you know, humility, yeah, you know, resurrection, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The word of God says it. Remember we went earlier on? How did Jesus manifest and show his greatest witness? Seeing things and accepting them as an act of his will. You didn't write this. I didn't write it. God is caused it to be written for us to see. That this power, if you believe, is available to you. Start tapping into it. Start using it. So we need to see that this belief component, you know, of believing that the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to us. Even Jesus hadn't seen it done before. This is the faith of Jesus. Trusting God. That's why he was in agony in Gethsemane. Nothing must go wrong. He was the first, you know, since creation. I mean, the eons and eons that have gone past, they had existed. Nobody had ever moved from spiritual death to life. All the Old Testament saints, you know, I mean, we know the story there in Abraham's bosom, but they were. It was after he was raised from the dead. He stepped across that gulf. That rich man was looking at Lazarus from. Abraham said, nobody can come here and come there. The only person who qualified to cross that gulf was Jesus after the resurrection power. Things you could never do will be available to you as you start walking resurrection power in Jesus' name. Nobody could cross that gulf, but once resurrection power entered, he qualified. He stepped across. Hallelujah. After he had taken the keys of the prison from the devil. Made an open show of them. Preach to the prisoner in prison. Do you believe I'm Jesus? Of course. David, Paul, Daniel, all the heavy guys in the Old Testament. You know, they couldn't go to heaven. Remember? They had sin. Jesus hasn't died. So sin was still in their spirits. God cannot behold sin. But, you know, God created a cooler place for them in Abraham's bosom. Okay, the rich man was in hell. We went on there, Luke 16. It says he was in hell. But the angels took the poor beggar to Lazarus, to Abraham's bosom. And he was comfortable. And they could recognize one another. Amen. He could look and say, ah, please tell Lazarus to go to my brothers and tell them they shouldn't do the thing I did, or they shouldn't come here. You know, he said, those who are here can't go. We can't come across and we can't go anywhere. We're limited here. But what else am I saying? Jesus was able to cross across all of those things, step across, preach to the prisoners in prison, and then he led captivity captive. And that's how all the Old Testament saints, or those who qualified at that time, okay, you know, some of them picked up their bodies. I'm just getting to resurrection class. You know, they picked up their bodies and they went into heaven. But even those who didn't pick up their bodies at that time, their spirits could now go to heaven. Amen. So what are we saying? We've even enjoyed that resurrection power already. The power that got your spirit saved is resurrection power. You've already been using it. You just didn't know. Or we're just not walking in the degree of consciousness of that reality. When we get born again, it's our spirit man that gets born again. That time, God just does it sovereignly. That, you know, nobody could get born again until Jesus was raised from the dead. It's that power that recreates your spirit man. Recreates my spirit man. So the power comes in, shoom, recreates the spirit man. And then you start thinking, oh, but you know, I still feel like this. I feel, you know, but it's, and that's the way it is. There's spiritual growth, spiritual, you know, increase in capacity and so many things. You know, but we start coming, getting revelation, and say, wow. So if I got born again, resurrection power has already done one work. Let it do the remaining, please. Let it do the remaining. Let it work in my soul. Let it work on my infirmities. Let it work on my flesh. You know, let the push out, you know, use the resurrection power, you know, an abundance of that life of God that is the resurrection power to deal with infirmities, to pull down strongholds. When you pray about anything, pray with that knowledge that Satan, there is nothing, you know, the boldness it should give us, any situation we face. I'm taking the head of the message now. Any situation we face, Satan, you couldn't stand resurrection power when Jesus used it against you. You are not going to be able to withstand it when I use it in Jesus' name. Pray in faith. Mix it with faith. Trust God. Come against him with that mentality, with that mindset. You stumble because things are not quite, you know, perfect as it should be. Don't worry. Don't give up. Even if it tarries, wait for it. Keep on going. Keep on going. After some time, he will leave you. He will say, Tietik for Jew. Knowledge you are working in these things. You know, the Bible says, depart for a season. That's what Satan does. Satan is a bully. He's a tickle bully in a playground. The people who can stand against bullies, they get left alone. It's the people who cry that the bully disturbs. Okay, I mean, bullies are, as a psychologist, bullies have, you know, they're enjoying intimidating people and see people cry. That's his joy. So if you're not crying, if you're not, you know, if you're giving it back to him, so to speak, he will leave you alone very fast. Many times, bullies are cowards. Well, the person that stands up to them for the first time, more confident, you know, I just left you, it's a lie. You know, the minute you stood up and said, okay, he's answering me back. But when, kick you again, yes, you know, you're crying. So don't cry. When Satan comes, don't cry. When Satan comes, don't cry. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the power, if you believe, that is available to you. The power he couldn't withstand on resurrection morning is available to you. Deal with him. Give him a headache. Give him a headache. Serious headache. Even when he's not doing anything, give him a headache in the morning when you are praying. So it's not just what you are doing when there's emergency. Let it be our lifestyle. That way you create that force field. The power that is around you, the power that's available to you, and then there's more revelation flowing. There's more light flowing. There's more things that you're doing with God and understanding the ways of God that will enable us to fulfill our destiny. I've almost summarized the end of the message. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is having mercy. Now, let's see how seeing by revelation was important even in the Old Testament with Abraham. And then we can link that with righteousness. Like I said, I've taken some of the back of the message. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. So we've spoken about resurrection power. We caught a bit early into verse 19 and 20, saying that resurrection power is available to us. You know, but I want to go back and see, we're talking about believing. I want to talk about the believing part a bit more now. For what, Romans chapter 4 verse 3, let's read together. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen? We won't turn there. Genesis 15. Abraham says, you said I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Is this Eliezer, the Syrian man? I don't have any offspring. And God says to him, step out. And God shows him something. Amen. We're going back to the Genesis book, seed book, to see how God shows, how God reveals. In this time, God was showing him by saying, look at the stars. Count them. Can you count them? You can't count them. That's how your seed is going to be. And the Bible says something beautifully. Abraham believed. That condition. Abraham believed. He didn't produce stars. He didn't suddenly produce children. He didn't suddenly do anything. He just believed. It's almost scary. It's so simple with God. Don't get me wrong. There are things, there's labor and other things. But the essence that God wants, the most important thing is, believe me. That's what we read earlier on. It's talking about the children in the wilderness. They didn't mix it with faith. They didn't believe God. Just not believing disturbs everything else. Your greatest asset, the greatest input, pray, labor, do all those things. But the greatest input into the system, God's things that is working for us, is your believing. That's what we call believers. It's our main occupation. Amen? We're meant to be believing all the time. If you're doing all those other things you're not believing, it's just activity. God may sovereignly put some of this, put it there. If you're not believing to the potential that you have, remember we're talking about resurrection power here now. If you're not believing to that highest potential, then you will also not be attracting that much power. Abraham just said, okay, I see it as you say it, so it is. He says it was imputed unto him as righteousness. Wow! Do you get that? Righteousness. That's God. Right standing with God, And God just said, you believe me? That's it. It's done. I can move now since you believe me. So also, do you believe God about resurrection power? Yes. That will be imputed as righteousness unto you. Do you believe God about being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Manifesting as a son of God, witnessing by doing the works that the Father shows, so that other people may see that witness and know that, God is real, so that through you, God can establish his covenant upon the earth. Through you, God can cause great wealth and power to be your portion, that you will demonstrate. And it will be clear that, yes, these people are with God. People will flow into Zion and come to a place, where God is manifesting and people are the saviors on Mount Zion are manifesting. So by believing God, Abraham had righteousness imputed or accounted to him. I was looking at it, it's an accounting term. How in accountancy, Pastor Tunji is the accountant, you have debit, loss and profit and all those things. I said, God just credited that account. Amen. Just by believing it, just push, righteousness. You believe? Bam, an alert came, righteousness alert. He believed, it was just imputed. He didn't work for it, he didn't do anything. Now, his work before me be perfect. God made it, had to do some other things. But the righteousness came by believing. The righteousness came by believing. So also ourselves, we're going to get that righteousness of Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which is by believing. Believing God for that. He has said in his word, it's true. Believing God, that this righteousness or this power of his resurrection that I was talking about earlier is available to us. I'm trying to link the two aspects of the message. So we're trying to see as believers what we see and then the power of resurrection. That's what I believe, is the key of what God wants me to say this evening. To link that as we believe for the power of resurrection, then we'll see great things manifest in our life. Praise the Lord. It's not every time that we see the reality of what's going on. Because we won't turn there. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 12. This is Elisha at Dothan. Okay, he goes to Dothan, I call it a Dothanian experience. Where he says, the servant wakes up in the morning. Oh God, there's a problem. He says the hill is surrounded by the army of the Syrians. Okay, I don't think we need to turn there. The background, very quickly. The king of Syria is having problems. If he plans to do something, somebody will expose the plan. There is somebody amongst you here who is a traitor. Somebody is giving out information to the Israel, to children of Israel. Anything I plan something, it doesn't come to pass. They know ahead of time. When somebody says, no, there's no traitor. It's Elisha who is doing what you are saying in your very bedchamber. God will give us that power in Jesus' name. Amen. To deal with some of these funny leaders, what he says, you just count sight and you know that, yes, he must have come from above. And that will make them repent and draw to God. Then he says, okay, go and arrest him for me. And they go to him and, you know, like I said, the servant wakes up and says, wow. He's a, you know, for one person, you know, they sent a whole army. I mean, just to arrest one person. Elisha was so frazzled. Thank God for maturity. Thank God for seeing the right thing. Elisha was not frazzled. He said, okay, Lord, open his eyes. It's a prayer that we should be praying. Lord, open my eyes. In a difficult situation, Lord, open my eyes. If we believe we are armed with that resurrection power, it's a question of God, Lord, please just open my eyes. Let me see the way of escape. Let me see how to use the resources that are available that you've given me through this resurrection power and so many things, how to use them. Open my eyes. We always have the victory. We triumph always. Amen. We triumph always. Have a winner's mentality. Yeah, with the original winner man. Amen. Jesus is the winner man. That's what we sing. When we sing with Revelation. Elisha said to him, Lord, open his eyes. And then his eyes were open. Then he saw chariots and flaming horses all around Elisha. Did they just come there? They were always there. Guess what? In any difficult situation you're finding yourself in, the forces of God is always there. He's already there. If you've prayed, the power is potentially already there. Even if you haven't prayed, duck under cover and ask for mercy. Amen? That's an important key. One of the pastors was sharing the other day. It was Pastor Day. You know how when you're in trouble, covering gives you something to lean on. Something to rest on. When you have failed, to fall back on. Okay? I'm bringing that quick because many times, because we're growing, there will be times where we even fall short. But duck under covering. But you can't duck under covering if your attitude is not right. Submissive attitude, a reverential attitude, and you can't program it when you need it at the last minute. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Okay, it's the truth. So you exercise it 24/7. You know, the day you need it, you won't even know. You just have gone, enjoyed it, and come out. Amen, by habit. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. So why is this believing so vital? Well, believing is vital for attaining unto the fullness of Christ, which we've been called, so that the fullness of that righteousness can be imputed unto us, so that God's covenant can be established upon the earth. Now, just to clarify, I know we talk about this righteousness being imputed, and we've been taught here, and absolutely, you know, I'm not that guy, I wouldn't even dare, you know, say it's not so. You know, the new birth is a gift. You just got that. You didn't understand righteousness. You know, when we are still sinners, you know, somehow God just managed to corner out many of us. I suddenly realized, I don't want to go to hell. God, you know, many of us start that way. Pastor Clay was talking about the three M's, the motive. Our first motive is as we mature, we now start loving God. The first reason you got born again wasn't because you love God. It was self-preservation. It suddenly occurred to me, hell, you know, maybe they would say, well, for someone like me, they had said it and said it. God just had mercy. One day the reality dawned on me. Ha! You know, I gave my life. Okay? When we come to that knowledge of that new birth, we didn't do anything about it. So it's a gift. Also, there is a reward for becoming like Jesus, for manifesting as a son of God. There is a labor, there is a work. The things we talk about, attitude, prayers, and all those things. But I want to, you know, bring this up. Pastor shared it before, so I'm saying what he said. Really, it's not your prayer. It's not your groaning. It's not that some electrical discharge goes to the third heavens, energizes some angels, and then causes them to be empowered. Then they come back down. I said in a light way, but do you understand what I'm saying? We should pray. Please don't say I say you shouldn't pray. I beg of you. Please pray. I didn't say it like that. I'm bringing out, elevating the consciousness that, is it those sounds that is doing something in the third heavens? Is it when I make it really loud, then more angels move? Is it possible that I can do that and then those things configure some miracles? I'm needing healing in my body and reverses things. It's the believing that is working. You know? So labor, fast. Yes, fast. I don't say don't fast too. I just say don't pray. Do all those works that we've been instructed to do. But please, those things are done in faith. It is the faith you are doing it in that is God is now walking through. The power is coming from God. All those things you are doing is not releasing the power. It is God releasing the power because of your faith. Fine line. Fine line. fine line so that you have an understanding. Yes, I'm doing this, but that way you realize that I can't stop believing. I can't go into sleep mode. I shouldn't go into sleep mode when I'm non-believing. Okay, I believe it's true. I believe resurrection power. But am I, what did you define a believer as? He believes it is presently true. Accept as an act of his will. Many times you have to discipline yourself in the place of prayer. Your mind has gone to Dodo Akara Rice. You know, bring it back. Sometimes you have to do Akara Rice, but you're just not, you're just, you know, the best that is that sleep mode. You're not actively believing. And we say, what is a believer? Somebody who has an act of his will presently. Those things we shared, the high priest ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is praying through the Holy Spirit, through you, as you pray to the Father. That background is there. You're believing it consciously. When you're praying, you're believing that power that is being released, resurrection power is available to you. So are you, you know, it's like somebody shooting pistols where there is, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles available to you. Amen? You get what I mean? I mean, so let your mind, what is in your mind is vital. That's where your believing takes place. What is going on in your mind? So, Satan, I'm coming against you with the best arsenal available. It's what's going on in your mind. If you're not thinking, if you're not believing, if you're, what's in your mind is, okay, maybe I'm struggling to get through. I hope this prayer works. So, then you are going to just get hoping. But no, I am coming in the name of Jesus under the covering of the fathers of the house with a powerful resurrection of God that is available to me because I believe. Satan, I'm coming against you with resurrection power. And every time, all the things I'm doing is not me, but I'm believing that because I'm exercising faith in resurrection power, the father upstairs says, he says he believes. I beg. Zoom. Amen. So in the person's circumstance, that's what's working. The person who doesn't believe by default or just by negligence, God is not being wicked. He's not believing. I'm not able to do as much as I want to do. Remember Jesus at Nazareth? The power was there, the Son of God. He could do what? No mighty works. A few headaches in there because of their unbelief in their mind. They were still questioning who is he, what is he, you know. They had heard enough things in the past. I mean, somewhere else, just because of what they had heard that he had done. Yeah, come. Remember in Samaria. You know, I mean, this is God, you know, that says we are the Samaritans who are meant to be the ones who are hybrid Jews. I mean, we'll go into the story. They're the ones who believed. As I saw it the other day. They actually said, surely it must be the Christ. I mean, I don't think it's done there. Surely it must be the Christ. Wow. I thought Samaritans knew about that there was a Christ. And they actually said, this must be the Christ. And in Jerusalem, the custodians of everything, because of unbelief. God will help us in Jesus' name. We will be true believers in Jesus' name. Exercising our faith in believing the word of God. Believing what the word of God says. So yes, it's a reward. It's not like the free gift of salvation. But it's only by mercy and grace that that reward can be attained. It's not our physical labor. God is having mercy. And that mercy comes in sufficient measure when we are humble. You know, when we are honest. Sorry, honesty and mercy. Grace and humility. Those are the vital things. Okay? Even that again is your believing. Is your believing that, yes, I'm proud, but Satan, I'm working on this pride. And I'm not working on it with small weapons. I'm working on it with resurrection power. I'm working on this infirmity, but I'm not working on it with small weapons. I'm working on it with resurrection power. Amen? Are you getting the picture? It's vital to get to that side where you want to get to with God to be using the right ammunition. You can't be using pistols where people are using tanks. You know, you won't get... So you want to... You know, give the devil a hiding and get into these things. It's available. It's just a question of you believe. So I'm not saying it's an automatic. Yes, Pastor, I said believing tonight, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow, and I'm going to be witnessing as the Son of God in fullness. Mm-mm. Okay? Progressive. Thank you, sir. Progressive. But if you are using the right instruments, your progress will be very quick. Rapid, accelerated spiritual growth and development. Amen? The things you'll be enjoying will be quick. The area Satan is disturbing you will be getting less quicker. I mean, we're getting fewer and fewer because you're using the right weapons. So we said, you know, the reward is far beyond what you actually put into the system. I said it before, in terms of labor and work. Your greatest input is believing God. Our greatest input is believing God. Our greatest input is believing God. Our greatest input is believing God. So we're called to be believers. So let's believe, you know, and that's what you see. So that's the role of the power of his resurrection. Romans 1:4. So we're talking about having the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us, becoming conformed to the image of the Son of God, being like the Son of God. We've already seen it in another scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. I can look at the back. Just scriptures to arm our minds. And let's go to verse 3. Let's see, maybe more continuity. Verse 3. Concerning his son, let's do it together. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Then verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by what? The resurrection from the dead. Amen. The resurrection from the dead. Like I said, I went ahead of myself earlier on. Is that resurrection power that caused him to be able to be declared as the Son of God? What's going to cause you to be declared as the Son of God? You want to manifest as the Son of God? You can't go above the pattern. The pattern was resurrection power. That's what you and I are going to use as well. Declare to be the Son of God by the power of resurrection. Amen. So, beginning to round up as to how. How do we start operating as believers in the resurrection power of God and tapping into this resurrection power? First thing is what I was talking about earlier on. Our attitude is vital. The wisdom God is going to give to start understanding or seeing the reality of revelation knowledge of resurrection power. And it's going to be progressive. We've heard it with our understanding today, but as we start, you know, praying it, as we start confessing it, it will become more and more realistic. As we use it, then we now see, wow, okay, it's in the exercise of these things many times that the reality becomes, you know, more and more. But the first thing, let me just stay with my points. The first thing is the attitude of humility. Let's go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, 1. With the lowly. Proverbs 11, 1. Sorry, is it 3? With the lowly is wisdom. Yes, sorry, 2. I read the wrong scripture. Let's read together. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Amen. You're not going to get this revelation. You know, we've said this resurrection power that we're talking about is by wisdom and revelation. We saw that in Ephesians 1:17. May God give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's by the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you can have a revelation knowledge of that resurrection power. Okay, so for us to have that wisdom and revelation of resurrection power, we need to be meek and lowly in heart. All the connections Pastor Boyega was teaching the other day. Okay, connections with God. With a lowly God will give wisdom. Connections with oversight, which we said already today. Connections with our brethren around us. All those connections must be intact so that at no stage will anything fall out of place. If you have been in the wrong attitude towards, you know, beneath you, we make those prayers, you know, every morning, and we should, you know, I submit to the will of God, then I submit to those in authority over me, then I submit to those I'm in authority over. God, you know, says yes, it's a mutual submission. And any of those three, if it's out of place, affects the system. Amen? Okay, so as much as we submit to God, submit to oversight, let's check ourselves. The ones beneath me. And it's just, when I say beneath, they're not beneath. You know, it's maybe positionally. Am I submitted to them? Am I related to them the way God wants me to relate with them? Because if I'm not, then I fall into the place where there's pride. And instead of wisdom, there'll be a lack of wisdom. So with the lowly is wisdom. The second thing is the Pauline prayers. The Pauline prayers. The key one we looked at already, let's turn into it again since we are looking at the how of the word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Okay, Pastor Kuni was, you know, preaching the other day. I was saying how it's very important. You know, sometimes you just get carried away. You do the prayer, we travel, you know, and the other things. Daily confession, love confessions, general confessions, Pauline prayers. All those things are part of what we're meant to be doing. And if you don't do them, it's going to cause a deficiency. These are the things that are labor. Remember I said you can't put away the labor. But now when you are laboring, labor with that understanding. Labor that I'm now doing the Pauline prayers. When you are praying in the spirit and praying in tongues, after you've made a Pauline prayer confession, see yourself releasing resurrection power concerning that thing. So instead of just putting a bit out, you're actually putting a maximum amount of the power of God out. Ephesians chapter 1:17. We are seeing it, but I want us to look at it again. We are now looking at the how, so that, you know, if we're taking notes. So this is one of the things that we need to do, you know, the Pauline prayers. Let's read it together. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, it's in the book. Pastors has made it so easy. Let's give God a clap of hand again for Pastor and Mommy. The heritage that we have. We're not trying to go and start crafting out the prayers. Pastor has diligently sat down, he's worded the prayers, he's put the scripture behind each line. It's just ready made. If we don't eat it, it's our fault. It won't be our fault in Jesus' name. But I'm saying, it's been broken down, it's been put in chapter, it's been put in page 18, it's Pauline prayers, page this is general confession, page, you know, just to use it now. God will have mercy in Jesus' name. God will have mercy in Jesus' name. Because I know it applies to me as well. You know, there's so much that is made available, and we're just not yet tapping into the depth of what, you know, God has made available to us through the work of Pastor and Mommy. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Okay, I'm tapping those things. Other scriptures, let's see Philippians 1:9. Philippians 1:9, another Pauline prayers. We call these prayers the Pauline prayers. The prayers that Paul prayed for revelation, for understanding, and it's vital. Remember we said it's not a physical sin, it's a sin by revelation. So we need to be consistently praying for revelation knowledge. Verse 9. Let's read together. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Okay, the first one in 72 was talking about, you know, spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is about our love. Okay, but all the Pauline prayers, and when you put them together, it produces revelation knowledge. Revelation and knowledge of love. So when you have revelation of love, what I was saying earlier on, you realize that this one will hinder. If I pray this way to someone, you know, where I should be meek, and, you know, somebody, you know, lower than me, is the love of God revelation that you have that triggers that thought. This is not the love of God. You know, I should be esteeming, you know, my brethren as better than myself. This is not the love of God. You know, I'm trying to be better than him, or I'm, you know, I don't want him to have that because, you know, he may catch up or he may do something that I don't want him to do. Let him just be doing his own. Let me be able to do my own, and let's keep our things separate. Okay, all those things. It's the love of God that opens your eyes to see those shortcomings as we pray about the love of God. We won't turn to that. Another one is Colossians 1:9. We can check those ones at home. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the Pauline prayers. Then, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Very, very vital. Remember, we're talking now, and we're wrapping up, how we're trying to get revelation knowledge of God, but revelation knowledge particularly about resurrection power. Now, it's going to work. You get revelation of everything, but after this message, by the grace of God, start up and say, God, open my eyes to see, like Elijah prayed, open my eyes to see concerning revelation knowledge, open my eyes to see how concerning resurrection power, how to use it. Yes, open my eyes about other things, but in this message, about how to see. Let's see, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay. Okay, I said I was trying to save time. They were showing us Colossians 1:9, you know, about us having a spirit of understanding. Verse 6. Okay, maybe we should go to 5. Let's read together. Okay, let's 4. Sorry, it's not yet, we haven't got the complete thing yet. Okay, talking about wisdom. Okay. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Amen. Let's just stop and talk about that. We're talking about getting revelation knowledge, wisdom. And he says it was hidden from ages past, but it was hidden for what? Our glory. Bible says, you know, God hides things. It is the honor of kings to search it out. We are kings and priests. Okay, some things that are in that, those of that revelation knowledge, is hidden for our glory, so that we see those things and then we walk in them. So remember, we're trying to see how using the praying in the Spirit opens up wisdom, revelation knowledge unto us. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay, we mentioned that earlier on. We were talking about Satan. If they had known, But Jesus knew better. Why? Revelation knowledge. Not my will, but thy will be done. After 3 hours praying in Gethsemane, it was clear to him. There's a bit of suffering. There's a lot of suffering going to go on. But you've shown me. Father, you have shown me. Say, let's go. You know, he told the other disciples who were sleeping. Say, let's go. I mean, it was now okay. I've seen it by revelation. There is a game changer that is going to be played. The master player is going to bring in resurrection power. Satan has no idea about it. And when he comes in, I'm going to be raised from the dead. I'm going to shake principalities and powers off me. I'm going to take the keys of hell from Satan. I'm going to step across the gulf and preach to the prisoners. And I'm going to leave captivity captive. Amen? Satan didn't know that. But Jesus knew that. When you get revelation knowledge, there will be many things Satan doesn't know you know. Vital. There will be inside information God will be giving you. Satan will be playing on what he sees in the physical. You are seeing things beyond the physical. You are seeing things by revelation knowledge. You know, Pastor Clay said the other day, you know, talking about seeing your children, seeing our spouses, you know, we see by revelation knowledge. So, Satan, you can pick whatever picture you want to paint. This is not the story. This is the real story. So I'm going to be processing until I get the real story. And today we're saying we're going to start processing with more power. Amen. We have more access as we believe resurrection power is available to us. Then, because Jesus couldn't go in believing for the power to raise the son of the widow of Nain, or Jairus' daughter, or the woman with the issue of blood. That level of power was not what was operating, was not going to do the changing from a space of spiritual death to spiritual life. Are you getting me? So he saw a new thing. He saw this one, a new dimension. This is a higher level. It's possible. It's going to happen. Oh yeah, let's go. I can be crucified. I've seen it now. Amen. So also, you'll be seeing things in a new way. You'll be seeing things at a higher level. By revelation, you'll be seeing things and be able to cooperate with God and step out and believe God because he has shown you. And as you have seen, you believe and you execute. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 9. But as it is written, remember we keep it in context, okay, this is the wisdom that God is giving us, revelation wisdom, so many things. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard. Thank you, Pastor K, you got it. Neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. It's for you and I. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It has not entered the heart of man. Is the equivalent of the kind of thing that Jesus was having when he said, look, he can crucify me. I've seen that there's a greater power. So also if you say, I has not seen. Let me work on my love for God. If I'm performing the love of God, then that's the qualification. Remember, that's the condition at the end. God has prepared for them that. So perfect the love of God in our lives. Again, with the right armory. I keep on coming to that because I believe that's the crux of the message. Let's increase the arsenal level at which we are working at. Okay? The level of the weaponry we are using. You can see that it's happening in the world. Satan is the only one. And God encouraged me. You know, all these things that are happening, thinking, God, you know, gay rights, you first did it somewhere. Okay. Then America. Yeah, what's happening? You know, the other day, Monday, yesterday, I read the Boy Scouts of America have capitulated. You know, just a side digression. After the gay rights thing came, the Boy Scouts, you know, all of us know Boy Scouts. So, you know, we can't change our rules. So they have a rule. Somebody is openly gay. Why would I let you go to a camp with 14-year-old boys and, you know, everything? I mean, you'll be talking to them. The people who are straight thinking before, you'll get them thinking all kinds of things. They've now agreed that you can be a gay scout leader. You can be, you know... they couldn't, because the pressure is there. You know, America, litigation, lawsuits here and there. This person is filing in this state. This person is filing in that state. You know, they left a little place as well. Each local chapter can decide what they want to do. But they, as Boy Scouts of America, the big umbrella, are saying that anybody is openly gay. You know, that thing is seeming to be increasing. There is now, you can't discriminate. You know, I mean, the thing doesn't make sense. Why would I let somebody, you know, but that is how much they are pushing that agenda now. The guy is normal. So even if he introduces your son to what is not right, don't worry. I mean, if there was somebody introduced your son or your children to, you know, something that was wrong, you know, immoral at an early age, yes, you take offense. But they say, well, so you can't be biased against the guy just because he's gay. So let him be there. Just like you trust the guy who is straight not to teach your child anything immoral, either with the opposite sex or whatever, you should also trust that this guy, in his own standing, though he's gay, he's not going to do anything to affect your child. Wow. Which kind of, you know, you're putting the, what did he say, you know, you left the cat with the fish or something. I can't remember how you remember, you know, the cat is the one watching over the fish or something. I mean, the fish is gone. You know, I mean, the guy is, has a problem in that area. You're saying, don't worry, go on. You know, so we see that, you know, it's important. But what got me off on that was the reality that, you know, it seems as if that negative thing is increasing. And God had to encourage me. I'm not a careless God. I'm not a responsible God. God is not irresponsible. God is not irresponsible. If those negative things seem to be rising, guess what? God is already, the pastor said it before, so they are so blessed. It's underground, undercurrent. It's God. God has a plan. And this kind of thing we're talking about is part of that plan. A greater power is just going to suddenly come. Shoo. Because I'm thinking, the way these guys are going, what's going to stop them? The church. The Zion church is going to arise. The Zion church walking in resurrection power that there is no answer for. That if Satan could have done anything about, he would have done it when he had Jesus in hell. If he couldn't do it then that resurrection power is going to work on our behalf. When we start using it in concert, when we start using it together, united, praying in the Spirit, then we're going to start seeing serious pushback against the forces of darkness. Then we'll arise and shine. Cross darkness must first be there. Gross darkness we are seeing now. It's getting so gross. Some of this is we're saying. You know, let the Supreme Court, Boy Scout Association, it's getting darker and darker. Is that when we're going to arise and shine? Okay, Isaiah 60. Okay, so you think it's getting darker? Don't worry, it's because we're about to shine. Hallelujah. And part of the resources we're going to shine with is this greater power that's available to us by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing the reality of that power being available to us, walking in it, exercising it, start seeing it work in your life, then come together when we come to pray. Okay, I'm going to the next point now. The one we're doing now was that, you know, praying the Pauline prayers in tongues. We speak mysteries. Okay, so anytime you're praying in tongues, you're saying things. That's the way God has designed the system. You're saying things that you later get into your mind by revelation. You know, Rabakashanta Rabakoseria, Frebokoshoria, Mekrabasoria. Welcome, sir. Frebokosoria, Mekrabakasanta Rabakoshoria. You're speaking mysteries. Things that you don't know, but later on, you're going to come out, you know, and Pastor, you know, explain it beautifully. You know how in different languages, you can say dog, you can say aja, you can say different things. In different languages, is the picture that's painted. So when you're speaking in tongues, pictures are being painted. Pictures are being painted. Pictures are being painted. It's later on, the picture that you have been painting is going to come into your understanding. That's when it becomes revelation knowledge. That's when it becomes light that you can work with. So it's important that we pray in tongues, you know, and then let's correct that 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 2. Sorry, I got my first and second wrong. Yes, sir. Okay. So we're talking about speaking in tongues, speaking mysteries. Sorry, I diverted a bit there. Okay, I should stay structured. Thank you, Mommy. Okay, we're talking about speaking in tongues and speaking mysteries. Okay, so when you speak mysteries, we speak in tongues. So we're now connecting with another scripture. This one in 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not. Oh, so let's do it together. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How be it? In the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Remember what we're doing in 2 Corinthians 2, we're speaking mysteries up to verse 10. This mysteries that brings about the wisdom of God, that causes us to now manifest as doing things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart has not seen, things that give us the mind of Christ. Okay, that's the conclusion, you know, I think one of the last verses there, but we have the mind of Christ. So the mysteries that we speak eventually cause us to have the mind of Christ. Okay, praise the Lord. And then finally, praying with travail. We're looking at the house. Okay, praying with travail. When we pray with travail, the first things of right attitude, Pauline prayers, the understanding, praying in the Spirit, gives us revelation knowledge. Okay, of those things. It's when we pray with travail, we're now able to exercise and put that resurrection power that we're talking about into operation. Okay, in the place of travail, releasing it with great force, strong cries. Let's do Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Looking at the type of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Strong cries, and it was heard in that he heard. Okay, Let's read together. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. So throughout his lifetime, in the days of his flesh, he was always praying. He didn't have any sin. Death was not inside him. But it was because of the travail, pushing back the spiritual forces of darkness. We couldn't do it just by praying in tongues. Amen? There are some levels we will not get to if we don't pray with travail. There are some things we will not break into. You know, it's like the analogy. You can walk to Malpo, but you can't easily walk to Maiduguri. Okay? You need a car, at least. You know, some people are walking to meet Buhari when he became head of state to collect things, but let's leave those ones alone. You know, but you want to get to the UK. Then the walking is out of it completely. The bus is not likely. You know, you need a plane. There are some destinations we want to get to. It's only by travel. It's only by praying, all types of prayer, releasing great volumes of the life of God. Okay? Life of God, processing that life in the place of travail, coming out as power for us to be able to enjoy the things that God has in store for us. Praise the Lord. So we need to have the right attitude. We need to pray in the understanding, the Pauline prayers. We need to pray in tongues a lot. A lot. You know, learn this from Pastor. Pastor is in the car, he's at home, you know, and trusting God. You know, we need to really step it up. There's no quiet time. Whenever, you know, there's a quiet moment, be praying in tongues. It doesn't need too much of your understanding. Amen? Just do it in faith. So each passing moment, you're putting out, you know, more of that thing. You're getting more wisdom. You'll be able to get more revelation knowledge. United praying in the Spirit under the covering of mature oversight. Okay, just touching on what we shared, you know, last time, you know, whereby you can even increase what your own capacity is able to do by joining others in faith. United praying in the Spirit, producing a greater amount of the power of God. One put 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 under covering of the fathers. Because you may only have a unit of one. But if you are borrowing from the father who has 999, that's your capacity for that period of time. Once your attitude is right, you're in submission. So why pray with one when you can borrow 99? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's keep that. The revelation knowledge of the awesomeness of the resurrection power that is available to us motivates us to believe for everything that we see in God's words to pass, because we know we have access to the power of God to bring it to pass. Whatever we see, if we can tap into resurrection power, then we can bring it to pass. Amen? Whatever we see in the word of God, that power is able, it did what had never happened before. What about God-man in Christ? The same thing is available to us. We too are going to enter into what God has called us to. Satan and his cohorts could not stop Jesus in hell when the Holy Spirit brought resurrection power into play. Likewise, the gates of hell cannot stop the believers who bring the power of believing on resurrection power into play. Amen? Something God gave me. You know, when the Spirit of God brought it into play in the pits of hell, Satan couldn't do anything about it. When we believe God and we bring it into play, it's a win-win situation. Amen. He's a sure banker. Amen. You know, it was a sure banker. You know, I just want to end on this. You know, God said he's a sure banker for victory. You know, and I was like, wow. You know, and then I suddenly thought, where did I remember that expression from, sure banker? You know, it's a gambling term. You know, they don't see now. You know, sure, what they used to do those days. You know, you napam, you palmam. You know, they used to play, those people play pools. You know, they nap this, they palm this. It's a sure banker. Means you are going to the bank. This one you will win. And it's a lie. Everything is sure banker. This Saturday was sure banker. You didn't win. Next Saturday, sure banker. You still didn't win. You napped a draw. Liverpool will play this. They will do this. A draw. Score draw. Goalless draw. Napam, pamam. Sure banker is a lie. You didn't get anything out of it. Okay? But God brought a thought, you know, very important, that something had been seen. And, you know, I now realize why God brought that gambling thing, expression to my mind. Sure banker. The devil is bringing it in gradually. Amen. All over town now, I drive, there is Niger.com betting. There is something, you know, I can't remember the road. There are about three or four. You know, I drive, you know, from UI to school, taking the Ajibode route. Every little area has its own. It's not as if there's one big place you go to do it now. They've localized it. really localized. You know, it's as if everywhere those people who watch their football, Premier League is going to start again in August. They put one near them. The poor guy who barely has enough money goes, you know, and he's spending his money on, you know, and it's so horrible now. They make it seem as if you will surely get something. Now you can bet that, you know, Hazard will score first, or that it's going to be 1-1 at halftime. You know, before, it's the final result only. They've done it now in so many ways, and some people win. Pastor is wondering, you know, I am one of the people who walk under me, sir. Pastor said, how did I know this? One of the people who walked under me, and I was so, and he says, you know, many people are, many young boys, you know, and I'm bringing it out because we may think you are immune to it, or, you know, you can either be a witness to tell people about it, or peradventure you've even started trying it and you think it's harmless. It's addictive. It's a known fact. Gambling is addictive. You start off after some time. In Europe now, when they advertise gambling, it's also on the internet. On your phone, they, you know, even gambling has different things. The text message they send you, spend one to this, send one to that, so you can get this. It's gambling, you know. You're right, Pastor G. They give you free money to start. They're luring you, you know, in, you know. And God said, you know, this gambling thing, we should be alert to it. Let's start talking to people about it. If you're having problems with it, don't even go near it. You know, the thing you will not put in your mouth, don't bring it to your nose. Amen. Don't bring it to your nose. It's not innocent too. The person who gets addicted is the person who has a problem. That's when people use school fees to go and get, and let's gamble. You know, I want to make more money from my fees, or my money for fees is not enough. The husband takes part of the money and goes to place it on Niger bet. God forbid, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that came because about, you know, there's a social vice that Satan is bringing in surreptitiously. And we should be alert to it. We should pray about it. And if we see anybody near it that should not be near it, tell them they should run in Jesus' name. God will help us in Jesus' name. So let's hang on to the real sure banker. Amen. That's just one that I believe God put in my heart about gambling. You know, don't be brought under the power of anything. Anything that is addictive, run from it. It's something Satan is waiting to use in the future. I don't know why it just came back again. It's a Achilles heel that he's going to use to get in the future. The Bible says, don't be under the power of anything. Nothing should have that control. Okay, it doesn't start as a game, but then you get hooked and then you can't stop. We won't get into it in Jesus' name. But we'll get into the sure bank of resurrection power in Jesus' name. We'll get into the win-win situation of resurrection power in Jesus' name. We will believe it's available to us and we will walk in the reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.